Yep. I should remind people we're in your studio, recording studio, which is right next to the Tulsa Theater. I remind people that's where we are again. The performers that came through, Tony Bennett and all these other people, did you have interaction with all of them, some of them? Some of them didn't want to talk, some would?
I did not inherit my father's gregarious nature, right? I'm more reserved, anyone that knows me. So I did not ask to be put in contact with artists when they came through. However, you still get to meet a few. My mother was a huge Tony Bennett fan, and she was at the concert. I mean, that was the genre of music that my parents grew up with, Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett. And so we got to go backstage and meet Tony, and I was there, and she ran her fingers through his hair. And apparently he was wearing a toupee, and it dislodged the toupee. and I remember this. He just acted like nothing had happened. Mm-hmm. Just smiled. And my mom was an attractive lady, and he was happy to get the hug from her.
You know, I was thinking, these stars are big, but maybe the history of the building is bigger than the stars themselves.
Well, thank you for saying that, because that's what kept me motivated all these years. Because the stars come and go. And Tulsa sometimes is just on a routing arrangement as stars go through the middle of the country. But the building has real character. Had the city of Tulsa not found someone like me, you know, in 1977, I feared that it would have been torn down.
Yep.
And if you go back to that time period of 1912, 1914, of the 4- and 5-story red brick buildings that were down in this area, there's very few left. And of course, they really wanted their best foot forward when they built, at the time, Tulsa Convention Hall. So it has some interesting architecture, but no, that you're right. The artists come and go, but my passion came from the building itself. It tells its own stories. We, to this day, will be in some corridor or we'll be in some little room and we'll see something and go, that's how the old timers did it.
Hmm.
We found, the plows that they used, we are speculating that they used horse and plow to build the foundation for the building, because we found evidence of that down in the ditches down there.
Wow. Right.
Horseshoe. Because
they wouldn't have had mechanical
tractors. Well, in 1912, it was just making the transition.
Yeah.
There was some, but yeah, they were using horse-driven plows to dig the footings for the foundation. Mm-hmm. And the place is built like a tank. Over the years, when they tried to get a new theater, some of the press reports would say, oh, well, structurally, it's not that good and everything. Well, no, they were just saying that. It's built very strong. 4-course thick outside walls. Interior is supported by steel and steel trusses.
So much maintenance on a month-to-month basis?
Yes. Well, we just put in new bathrooms and new bars, so we get a break there. Those should be good for a while without a ton of maintenance. But yes, the building requires constant maintenance. Like I say, we'll be in some room or some nook or some cranny of the building, and we'll see something that had been covered up for years, and we'll say, that's not how it's done now, but that's how they did it then. And it's great to have those reminders of our history. And when the audience walks in, we still have the original wood chairs. Now they're small, they're not as comfortable as new ones, but they are reminders of the craftsmanship that went into the stuff, 100 years ago. And I've gone to great lengths to restore those chairs. I've had out-of-town promoters come in and say, there aren't any other theaters really that have preserved those the way you have. And, kudos to you for doing that.
If I were to ask you things in your life you're the most proud of, this has got to be one of them.
Oh, it is. And my daughter.
Of course. Of course. About the acoustics again, Lionel Hampton, the jazz legend. That's a cute story.
That's great. Oh, I love telling this one. So he had to. He was a vibraphone player, right? You know, with the mallets and the vibraphone, a jazz player, a very, very well-respected jazz player. And he had an outstanding jazz band with him, and it was mainly acoustic, not much amplification for his show. So this was the middle of the summer, probably July. And so he gets out on stage, and there's a cricket making its noise from the back of the stage. And you would think with normal rock music, you'd never hear a cricket, and it wouldn't matter, and the show would just go on. Well, he stopped the show, and he could hardly walk, so he's limping around, going back behind the drums, looking for the cricket, and the audience is just breaking out in laughter. And he was playing kind of the straight guy, kind of the straight man, like, I'm trying to find this damn noise. And so the stagehands went out there and tried to help him. And then we finally thought we found it. And somebody got a shoe, and bang, comes down. I think we got the cricket. And so Lionel goes back to his instrument and starts playing again. And he thinks, you know, coast is clear, good to go. And sure enough, you know, 10 minutes later, the cricket comes back. And the audience just roars out in laughter. I don't know if Lionel had too many comedic outings, but this was one of his. And he was not planning it. It was all ad lib. Great story, and I'll never forget it.
And, yeah, kudos to the acoustics of that fine building.